Looking forward to talking to Gresham Barrett today. Of course, he is in the House of Representatives. He is on the Finance Committee, and that's, of course, a biggie up there right now. Lots of things happening there, but he's also on the Committee on Foreign Affairs and the Committee on Standards of Official Conduct.
And he's with us now, Ann.
All right. Good morning, Gresham. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Ann. I'm doing great. The weather's actually beautiful.
It is in Greenwood.
Well, it is. It looks like it's going to be a nice sunny one, a little cool, but I think it's supposed to warm up.
Good, good. The rain's been absolutely glorious, hasn't it?
Oh, we've gotten a tremendous amount of rain. Thought we were going to float away Saturday.
We're still way behind, but I tell you, the reservoir, the Hartwell Reservoir, Thurman, Russell, starting to look a little bit better.
Well, it's about time, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is about time. But, hey, Gresham, you were here in town last Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, had a good meeting with everybody.
We did. It was the Chamber of Commerce, had a great crowd, and just kind of brought them up to speed a little bit about what's happening in Washington. And, of course, well, there's a lot going on right now, but this week is actually budget week. The president is bringing his budget, or has brought his budget, to Capitol Hill. We're taking a look at it, and it will be on the floor. It passed out of committee last weekend, and we'll be taking it up on the floor this week.
So he's out of the country, and you guys are working on the budget. You know, maybe you could make some cuts, right?
Well, you know, it's unbelievable. When you think about what this budget does, it increases taxes by $2 trillion. It doubles the national debt in less than 6 years. It's the highest percent of GDP since World War II. I mean, it taxes too much, it expends too much, and it borrows too much. And we have an alternative that we will present on the floor this week. It's actually a Republican budget and an RSC, which is a Republican Study Committee budget, which is the conservative portion of the Republican Party. Unfortunately, I don't think either one of those will fly, Miss Ann, but, this economic doldrum will turn around. The economy will pick back up, but unless we get our basics in order, unless we get our spending and borrowing and taxing under control, sooner or later, somebody's got to pay the bill.
I know, Gresham, and one of the things that concerns all of us here is all the little people out here. I'll call them the little people. I mean, we keep looking at all these big organizations, right?
Yes, ma'am.
What about the little people? What about the person that's just barely scraping by, or maybe they're having to make decisions about which credit card payment to make this month, or whether they can pay the light bill, or are they going to cut off their cell phone? What about these people, Gresham?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, one of the things that we have done, and one of the things that we're introducing this week, Miss Ann, is a bill that I actually submitted last Congress, and we're doing it again this Congress, except we changed the name of it. We call it the Tea Act, in honor of all the tea parties across the nation.
Have you gotten any tea bags up there, Gresham?
I'm sorry?
Have you gotten any tea bags up there?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what. Does it smell like tea up there in Washington, D.C.? That's what I want to know.
I think it's starting to smell like tea everywhere. and it's exciting to see the American people get mobilized with what's going on in the federal government today. But this is the Tea Act. It's called the Taxpayer Empowerment and Advocate Act. And it does several different things, Miss Ann. It saves the taxpayer over the next 5 years about $520 billion. It ties the growth of government with the rate of inflation. It goes back and tightens up the definition on emergency spending, so we can't just spend money and call it emergency spending. It also authorizes a program called Pay As You Go, which means if you're going to raise spending somewhere, you have to figure out where that money is coming from. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I hope catches on. We're starting to shop it around to get some co-sponsors. But again, the bottom line is it saves $520 billion over the next 5 years. And I think that is trying to help the little man like you're talking about.
Well, you know, I think that's great. I think that's great, but you said in the beginning you don't think it has much hope.
Well, it's going to be an uphill struggle. I'll be the first to tell you that. But I'll tell you, Miss Ann, one of the things that we were talking about earlier with the tea parties that are going around this nation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what the American people are doing. They're getting mobilized. They're trying to say, hey, federal government, we've had enough of your overtaxing, your overspending, and your overborrowing. We want you to have accountability, and this is what this is a good first start right here.
Well, it sounds like it is. How do you feel about the fair tax? You know, this thing where we just pay a national sales tax on certain items. But what do you feel about that, Chris?
I have been a co-sponsor in the past. I think John Linder take another look at it. I don't know if he has or not, but in the past, I've been a major proponent of a total tax overhaul. You know, I told somebody the other day, if you had a garden hose that had been repaired as many times as the federal tax code, you'd throw it out and buy a new garden hose. And I think it's high time, not only the federal tax code, but the state tax code. We've taken so many shotgun approaches, Miss Ann, for so long at just certain areas of the tax code. I think we need a holistic approach. We need to take the tax code, federal and state, in its entirety and try to revamp it.
You know, I think it must be pretty difficult to work with all the, what shall we call them, free-spending Democrats up there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's amazing. I know the president has been on a full court press to pass his budget. But, you know, it doesn't pass the smell test. We were in a meeting this morning, and one of the things that the president talked about was the tax cut for middle America, for the average worker out there. That is not in his budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to campaign for 2 years to say we're going to give a tax break to 99% of the people and then present his first budget and it not be in there, somebody's selling a bill of goods, if you ask me.
I think so. So that brings me to my next question.
Sure.
Since you are such a conservative, why are you leaving the government, leaving Congress, at such a time where we need people like you up there?
Well, you're very kind. I mean, we've had a tremendous run as a congressman. I think we've been very effective and continue to be effective. But you know, I think I bring some unique perspectives and some characteristics and some qualifications that we can use at the state level. I believe, and with all my heart, that if we're going to take this nation back, we're going to take it back one state at a time. And there's some things that we can do at the state level to prove to the federal government that things can be done. We can overhaul our tax code. We can bring economic job growth and economic opportunity to citizens in South Carolina, because it's empowering people through economic employment, through economic opportunity, that's going to turn this nation around. And it's not bigger government or more government.
Absolutely. So does that mean that you're going to be able to go out a little bit more on a limb because you're not going to be staying in Washington, D.C.?
Well,
I just have to ask, Gresham.
Absolutely, I understand. I tell you, I think we've been pretty outspoken over the last 7 years. You know, we just did an op-ed on the congressional pay raise. We've been an advocate on less spending and being fiscally responsible with the T-Act, with nuclear power, things that we have pushed, things that not only are important to the nation, but areas that South Carolina can lead in, Ms. Ann, and we will continue to do that over the next 2 years.
You know, one of my things, though, Gresham, is the earmarks.
Yeah.
You know, so many of our states have done very well with this stimulus package.
Sure.
What about South Carolina?
Well, I know South Carolina got its share. And you know, I'll be the first to tell you that the earmark system is broken.
Mm-hmm.
There are major problems with how earmarks are done and how they are put in. But I'll tell you in the same breath, I put earmarks on my website, and I support three different kinds. Anything that has to do with infrastructure, and I'm talking about water, sewer, roads, bridges, anything that deals with national security, and anything that deals with energy. Now, we get a lot of requests from a lot of different organizations. A lot of them fit those three criteria, and we send them forward. A lot of them don't. But we put them on our website. We post them. We have fresh air and sunshine transparency so you can follow the process the whole way. I mean, there are certain things that the federal government and government is supposed to do.
Right.
And there are certain things that don't fit that criteria. And I think with those three criteria, infrastructure, energy, and national security, and they all kind of tie into each other. I think that's what the federal government's supposed to do. And I kind of take the Strom Thurmond philosophy. You know, I'm going to fight to make the budget just as hard as I can, just as tight as I can, just as fiscally responsible as I can. But once the parameters have been set, my state has needs just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And if it's a worthy project that can move my state forward that fits those parameters that federal government or state or local government is supposed to do, mm-hmm. I'm going to work to get those funds for my district and my state.
Question, like a swine odor, right?
Absolutely.
You know, or tattoos for gang members, tattoo removal, excuse me. For,
absolutely.
You know, things like that. I just don't really see those, and yet here we sit in South Carolina with the second highest unemployment in the country. That came out the other day.
Closing in on 10%.
Yeah, well, it's actually right here in Greenwood. I think it's 12.5%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Well, and it goes to show you, I think it goes back to my earlier point, Ms. Ann. You know, I mean, it's all about the economy. It's all about empowering people, not government, mm-hmm. not growing the government largesse and not empowering people in the public sector, but empowering people in the private sector, because they are the men and women. You know, there's 82,000 small businesses in South Carolina. That's two or more employees. They make up 97% of the businesses in South Carolina. But yet, when you look at the Obama budget, over 55% of the small businesses will hit some type of tax increase. Is that pro-business? Is that pro-growth? Is that pro-jobs and pro-economic opportunity? I don't think so.
And no. I think, you know, one of the other things that really bothered me was when we came out with that the government was going to make it able for us to get more SBA loans.
Yeah.
Do we really want loans at a time like this?
Absolutely.
We don't want loans. We want to survive and not go further in debt.
You know, one of the things that one of my colleagues from Texas, Louis Gohmert, proposed, you know, everybody pays payroll taxes every week or every month when they receive their paycheck.
That's right. It's the FICA program, right?
I'm sorry?
The FICA program?
Absolutely. And not only does the employee pay it, but the employer pays it also.
7.5%.
I mean, it is a matching type of fund. What if we suspended those for a month? Or what if we suspended them for a 6 months or for a year? Now, you talk about an immediate impact upon the economy.
That's right, Gretchen. We talked about that.
Those monies would go directly into the pocket of the employer, directly into the pocket of the employee. You don't need a government program to kick those back. You don't have to kick out any checks or do any paperwork.
Right.
I mean, it just makes perfectly good sense. We push that, of course, ineffectively.
So what's the problem? Why can't we? You know, we talked about this last time. We called it the Fiscal Investment for the Citizens Agency. Why can't we just do this? That would be something. Nobody has to do anything. We just have to say it.
Unfortunately, Ms. Ann, it gets back to the people that are in charge in Washington, D.C., and they think, I mean, their philosophy is government is the answer and not empowering the individual or the small business person.
You know, I think if we don't do something that can put some money in the people that are working every day, we've got more problems than they can ever figure out how to handle.
Absolutely. I mean, when I think about economic opportunity and what we could do across this nation and across this state, I mean, just think about energy.
Right.
I've told you the story about the economic announcement that we made in Lawrence County was $150 million. It was back in the summer, the Brazilian plant that was moving in. It was the largest, at that time, economic announcement in Lawrence's history, which was fantastic. But the lee site in Cherokee County, that is a $10 billion investment. You mm-hmm. talk about real job growth, and real opportunity. And let me put it in perspective. I'm a very visual guy. If I had a $1,000 bill, Miss Ann,
mm-hmm.
and I stacked $1,000 bills on top of each other to $1 million, $1 million would be 4 inches high, okay?
Right.
If I had $1,000 bills and I stacked them on top of each other to $1 billion, we're talking about 68 stories high.
That's a lot of buckos.
A lot of buckos. And I apologize. I got to run.
All right. Well, hey, let me ask you one more question.
Lay it on me, girl.
All right. Would you take the money if you were the governor of South Carolina right now? I got to ask you that question. You know, it's running around down here. Would you do it?
You know, my governor, I applaud him for trying to figure out how to use the monies. I certainly applaud him for trying to use it on the debt to lower our overhead, to lower our long-term obligations. But I guess the bottom line is, you know, South Carolinians are going to pay for this money, whether we use it or not. And I think that it's incumbent upon the government, the governor, and the legislature to figure out how we can use these funds. Absolutely.
All right. Well, anyways, I'll let you go. Enjoy this.
Dan, you take care.
All right. Bye-bye, Gresham. All right. Well, there you go. We heard from Gresham Barrett right here on WLMA.